Like, he's so disgusted by Juan Soto, he called his boss and said, I can't work today. Like, I'm so just disgusted by how bad he is at baseball. I will correct him about something, and it's easy to fall into this because history changes. Our memories change.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They just naturally do. So he talked about Lindor's first year here. Francisco Lindor, well, at least he was smiling. At least he was a leader. That is crap. That is not true. Number one, I don't think he was smiling all the time. Like, no. I think Lindor actually pulled a Shawn Michaels and lost his smile when he was struggling. That's number one. Number two, a leader? Yes, he's a leader now. He's an amazing leader now. This guy sat at a press conference. I just sent Tommy the audio, so I'm not sure if we could play it right away just to remind people. But he sat at a press conference after a Met game and lied to everybody about a fight that occurred with him and Jeff McNeil and claimed, we were arguing if it's a rat or a raccoon. And we can laugh about it now because it's over.
Think about that.
It's absurd.
A rat or a raccoon. Seriously? How could you be confused about that?
Because it wasn't real.
Of course it wasn't. It was a lie.
So think about this for a second. And I'm glad he brought up Lindor because I was already queued up to bring this up. Francisco Lindor in his first year as a New York Met, and granted, Soto's year's not over yet. He's still playing. A lot can happen. A lot of bad stuff can happen, right? Jury's still out. A lot of good stuff can happen, too. In his first year, he didn't smile as much. He sucked. I'm going to give you numbers to prove worse than Juan Soto. And then got into a fight with Jeff McNeil, in which reportedly, it's basically been confirmed, he choked McNeil against a wall in the locker room in the middle of a game.
Wow.
To which
really?
Everyone had to run down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, for anyone who forgot, middle of a game, all of a sudden the TV camera showed the entire Met locker room running, or Met clubhouse running towards the locker room, running down the stairs. It looked very strange. After the game, Lindor is asked, hey, what happened? And he concocts this story about, well, me and Jeff, we were arguing if it was a raccoon or a rat. McNeil joins in on the lie. And then the manager at the time, Luis Rojas, played his game beautifully. He was just like, I don't know what's going on. What? Huh? Was there a baseball game happening? Oh, I have no idea. And so that's what happened. And then, oh, by the way, a few months later, Lindor, who was hearing boos, decided to thumb down Met fans. Remember the whole thumbs down thing? Like, that was his first year here. It was as bad of a first year as a human could have. And through 55 games, I gave you Soto's numbers through 55 games, 224, 745 OPS, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs. Want to hear Lindor's numbers through 55 games?
Let's hear him.
214, so that's 10 points less. 644 OPS, that's 100 points less. 5 home runs, 13 RBIs. So I don't want to hear it. Like, he was worse than Soto through 55 games.
Yeah, but he also wasn't paid $70 million a year.
He was paid $300 million.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, it's $30-something million dollars a year now, versus 70.
I want to take you.
It's double.
I want to take you back to that night in case you forgot, because sometimes we need to remind ourselves how bad Lindor's first year was. And by the way, I love Lindor. This is not about knocking Francisco Lindor. It's actually a great story that he's turned into such an incredible leader. There was an awesome article in The Athletic this morning talking about some of the things he does as a leader. Like, for example, at the end of every series, he goes up to every player, looks into their eyes and says, how we doing? How we feeling? Tell me what's on your mind. And it's great. Like, he is clearly a leader and money well spent. It's been beautiful. I love Francisco Lindor. I will gladly wear his jersey now. He has earned that as a New York Met. But here he is, a few months into his Met career, lying after he reportedly choked Jeff McNeil.
What exactly happened in the tunnel there?
Steve, it was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because if we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Come on.
Who was he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Why did, you know, kind of half the dugout bench kind of rush down there and see where you and Jeff were?
Because of the rat, man. They couldn't believe that we were going back and forth between a raccoon and a rat. I swear this thing was pretty big.
You know, The reason it's important to play this is to show you, as bad as things are with Juan Soto right now, it hasn't reached that point. That's embarrassing.
He was really convincing himself.
And I don't know if he's ever come out and talked about this where he just admits it.
He didn't break from the story once.
No,
that's pretty damn good. Hey, why did everybody else come there? I don't know. They were just interested because they were debating over a rat or a raccoon.
Imagine that.
How the hell is a raccoon getting in the stadium? I understand a rat.
I love how you're figuring that part out.
A raccoon doesn't make any sense.
Now, I'll tell you something so naive that I had after that game. So the Mets won that game. True story. Mm-hmm. Mets won that game. And because they won and things were looking okay with the team, rat or raccoon became a rally cry. It didn't last because the team ended up falling apart, so it didn't have the staying power that Grimace did. But Rat or Raccoon was actually shown on the scoreboard a couple of times. Like, ha-ha, Rat or Raccoon. So it was embraced for a brief period of time. But when you look back on it now, you realize how much of a mess that was. And think about this part, Met fans. This has to make you feel good. They're both still there. Like, they're a double play combination. So obviously they were able to make it work. They may not be best friends, clearly, but clearly there's a respect and it's okay. So as bad as things have been with Juan Soto and we try to make them bigger deals, I will argue with anybody who tries that the Lindor first year was a bigger disaster so far than the Soto first year.
Yeah, but I think Lindor's issue is different because it was interpersonal. I don't think Juan Soto, maybe he does, we just aren't hearing about it, but I don't think that Juan Soto has interpersonal issues with guys on this team. And maybe he's not as tight as he was with Judge and all those guys last year where they're doing all the, I don't know, the celebrations after big hits and home runs and all the, you know, stuff that you see that makes it feel like, oh, they're a tight-knit group. Maybe he hasn't found that yet with the Mets, but I don't think it's an interpersonal issue.
And that's a good thing.
I think it's just a performance issue.
And Lindor had both, because, again, I gave you Lindor's numbers. They were awful, plus he had those issues. Soto's issues right now, besides stories that are just made up, like, oh, he hates it here and he's miserable, is just the fact that he's not performing. And nobody can deny that. He isn't performing. And, you know, I went over Mark Teixeira's numbers because I've used him as an example. I do want to give Teixeira a little bit of credit. His first 32 games were statistics that are worse than Juan Soto's, but at game 33, that's when his turnaround began. So his turnaround began earlier than Soto's turnaround.
Yeah,
you know, some guys, it takes longer for their turnaround to occur.
But that's going to happen with Soto, too. You just don't know when it's going to happen.
But when's it going to happen, Deke? Give me a date.
I told you it was probably going to be around the All-Star break. He needs a break and a disconnect. Look, he's not making the All-Star team, obviously. So you get a week or so off, you go, I don't know, do something, chill out, and stop thinking about the game and come back fresh. So I'm going to say All-Star break.
I give you a prediction. You know when he's going to break out of it?
When?
Tomorrow night.
Why?
I just have a feeling. I just think it's over. I think he's about to break out of it.
This will be the fourth or fifth feeling that you've had?
Oh, have I had a few of them?
I guess I have. Yeah, because obviously it was the Yankee series.
That's true. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's the Rockies. Like, oh, the Rockies are coming to town. I know the White Sox were just in town, but the White Sox can actually pitch a little bit. He's just going to fatten up against the Rockies, and he's going to get red hot. That's my prediction. Let's go to Anthony in the Bronx. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Tiki and Ivan. Listen, I want to ask you a serious question because, and this is serious. Because sometimes we embellish people's records and their stats. Juan Soto, and this is serious, gentlemen, a man that averaged 26 home runs and 89 RBIs. Do you know that Pete Alonso and his years in the majors have better home run and RBI average per season? So my question is, why we talk about Juan like Alex Rodriguez or
Well, we got to let you go because your phone's cut now. Why do we talk about Juan Soto so highly? Because you just cited two numbers. What about the rest of the numbers? What about on-base percentage? What about OPS? What about slugging? What about batting average? Like, Juan Soto is a far superior hitter to Pete Alonso. I love Pete. He's a Met. He's done more for me as a Met fan. But I don't think we over-embellish Juan Soto. He is what he is. He's a tremendous hitter. And he's certainly a lot better than what the numbers he's put up so far.
And he got paid a lot of money because of his free agency at the right age.
Yes.
This is a different era, and he comes up and he's held and kept down and doesn't accrue those seasons, then Juan Soto is just like every other big star, like Aaron Judge, getting paid at 30, 31 years old, and it's not going to be $700 million.
Absolutely.
But he's available at 26. Like you have him in his prime for a decade at least.
You're talking about a 26-year-old with a 950 career OPS. That player is going to get paid. That's it, and he should 100%. Get paid. That's it. Forget about the individual numbers or compared to this guy or compared to that guy. You hit on it, Teak. He's 26 years old, career 950 OPS, free agency. How often did those things happen all at the same time? It's very, very rare.